This is chapel for September the 26th, 1962. Dr. Copeland is leading our worship.
Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Prayer together. Thou art the King of glory, O Christ. Thou art the everlasting Son of the Father. When thou tookest upon thee to deliver man, thou didst humble thyself to be born of a virgin. When thou hadst overcome the sharpness of death, thou didst open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. As thou hast loved us, help us to love one another. As thou dost mercifully pardon us, help us to forgive one another. As thou dost bear our burdens, help us to bear one another's burdens. As thou hast befriended even us, may we be friends to all. As thou art not ashamed to call us thy brethren, may we truly be brothers of all. For whatsoever we do to one of the least of thy brethren, we do it also unto thee. Amen. What I have to say this morning in chapel is something that I said about 3.5 years ago, I believe, in a summer school chapel. One person, at least, was gracious enough to ask that I do this again. And although no doubt some of you have heard this, I assure you that I, too, have heard it before. The gospel gives to us the pattern of the Christian life in terms of the servant of God and of the world. And this pattern is given to us in Jesus Christ himself, who humbled himself and took the form of a servant. He condescended to come in full identification with us, even to the point of a shameful death of a condemned criminal on a cross. We too are called to identify ourselves with the needy of the world, without condescension, because we too are needy, and without paternalism, because we are above no one. I wonder if your experience is somewhat similar to mine. I confess that one of the deep frustrations of my life is the feeling that here, in this community where I live and work, I am not truly identifying myself with the most needy. Perhaps hardly in a long stone's throw from this building, there are people who live in the most wretched of circumstances. And I hardly have communication with them, much less identification with them. I realize that at least there is a seminary family and a church family who have need of love and service. And yet, I doubt if my identification there, even there, is what it should be at all. Now, I'm not going to try to discover the answer to this problem with you this morning. I would say simply in that regard that each one of us in the recesses of his own heart and in the presence of the living Christ, with heart and mind and hands, must find the answer. But rather what I wish to do is to cite an example of one who seems to me to have found an unusual degree of this identification in terms of the servant of Christ and of the world. I am speaking of the great Toyohiko Kagawa of Japan. Obviously, I do not have time to review his long and most significant career. Let me merely suggest that while he was a young seminary student in the city of Kobe, Japan, and still unmarried, he followed the vision of the love of Christ to the Shinkawa slum of the city of Kobe, perhaps the worst slum in the world. And there, in peril of his life, subjected to beatings and shameful persecution, in a place where policemen dared not venture alone, he lived the life of Christ's man in a little 6x6 hovel, which he shared with beggars and with drug addicts and with criminals, with alcoholics, with the dregs of society. And from one of them, he contracted the dread eye disease of trachoma, which nearly cost him his sight. Eventually, he found a young lady who shared his dream and his ideal of the servant of Christ. And she came to share a hovel in the slums. While he was there, he wrote some poems. He was a man of unusual gifts, really a man of genius. And these poems have been translated into English under the title Songs from the Slums. I wish to read two or three of these. The first of them is entitled Shinkawa. Shinkawa Slum. 1 month in the slums, and I am sad, so sad I seem devil-possessed or mad. Sweet heaven sends no miracle to ease this hell. The careless earth rings no alarm bell. But here there are slippery streets, which never are dry. They are lined with open sewers where rats come out to die. Tattered paper doors stand wide to winds that beat. The houses are all of a reddish black, like the hue of stale whale meat. Filth on the flimsy ceilings, dirt in the musty air. Elbowed out of their crowded rooms, people are everywhere. All night long they crouch in the cold, huddled on broken benches, where there's never a moment's lifting of the heavy, awful stenches. The painted idiot girl, upon whose back vile pictures were tattooed in red, will never lure men to her den again. She is dead. You ordinary folk upon the hill, to whom the slums are vague, listen and tremble as I scream to you, she died of plague. I came to bring God to the slums, but I'm dumb, dismayed, betrayed by those whom I would aid, pressed down. So sad, I fear I'm mad. Pictures race through my brain and lie upon my heart. Pictures like this. A man, legs rotted off with syphilis. And yet he need not fret. That money does not come because his wife is rented out and brings sufficient sum. I hear a harsh voice cry out, "Here you, dance!" I see a thin child dodge. And I know it is the boy whose father kicks him. 12 years old, driven from bed into the streets, naked and cold. I must be done with thoughts like these. The raindrops patter slowly from the eaves. The fire beneath my half-boiled rice is out. I hear the rising roar of ribald shout that brings the evening to Shinkawa slum. Is there no way that help can come? And then a very touching poem entitled, "When Tears Are Mingled." Dawn coming in through the grayness lights up the place where she lies. I'm sodden with sleep, but I waken at my starveling's little cries. She is here on the floor beside me, wrapped in rags that stink. I change them. I hold her to me and sob as she struggles to drink. 3 days have I now been a woman with a mother's heart in my breast. Do I doze but an hour, then she whimpers and I spring to soothe her to rest. Thin little dirty baby, wailing with pain all the while, but I taste the bliss that no life should miss when I look in her eyes and smile. Ah, she is ill, little Ishi. Life has abused her so. Safe from the fiend who had meant to kill, fever has laid her low. Through the night I labored to save her. We two were all alone. Sharp in the fearful stillness, the neighbor's clock struck one. Then walls went creaking, creaking. Blackened timbers groaned. In this house by murder haunted, the low-hung ceilings moaned. Boards in the floor beneath us, which have sucked blood warm and bright, held their breath and shrieked of death into the ghostly night. Why is the world so cruel? Seen with Ishi's eyes, the earth and all things in it is a mountain pile of ice. And then do you pity Ishi? I need your pity too. I must help. I must help. But am helpless. Oh, to be taught what to do. Men are consoled by their women. But this scrap in my tired arms lies, a shriveled doll from the junk heap, and the strong man who holds her cries. Why are you quiet, Ishi? Why are your eyes shut? Why? Wait, oh wait, little sick one. It is too soon to die. Think of my struggle to save you. Will you not stay with me? Listen, death shall not take you. I have no burial fee. How now, through the days of this dreadful plight, do I wince at a bedbug's filthy bite? Cry again, little Ishi. Cry once more, once more. What will it take to make you wake? For I cannot let you go. I call, but you do not hear me. I clasp you. You do not move. It is not to pain I would bring you again. There is love in the world. There is love. Will she not cry? I shall make her. Here in my close embrace, I kiss her wan lips. Growing grayer, my drawn face touches her face. Fast are my frightened tears flowing, falling on Ishi's eyes with her cold, still tears. They are mingled. Oh God, at last she cries. And one very brief, entitled Love. My God is love. My God is love, tender and deep. I feel his close, sweet presence, looking down to see the beggar baby lying in my arms asleep. May we stand for closing prayer. Now may the God of hope grant to you all joy and peace in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.